Hello, and welcome to another episode of God Made Geek. Geek Made the Great Western Trail. My name's John Ross.
And I'm Alex Barnes.
I almost forgot, Alex.
That's okay. I was going to introduce you if you weren't sure.
Thank you.
Sure.
Today's game is a game called Great Western Trail. It is designed by Alex Pfister. Also, the artist is Alex Pfister, as well with Andreas Flesch. And the publisher is a little gaming company called Eggetspiel.
You ever heard of that one?
I probably actually have and just don't realize it. But Alex Pfister, I couldn't name any of his other games off the top of my head, but I do know that he is a well-known game designer on the scene, on the board game scene, and has built many, created many Euro games. Which is what Great Western Trail is.
What is that? What's a Euro
game? I realize I said that to you earlier. For any of you who are listening to this and don't know, which might be a small percentage, because I think most of the people listening to this are three friends who probably know what Euro games are. But if you haven't, a Euro game is a very it came out of Europe. So Germany has always been a big board gaming country, and the Euro game kind of movement came out of Germany and spread across a lot of Europe and now into America. But in a Euro game, it's typically defined by small wooden pieces. So like the blocks and discs that we played with today.
Yes, sir.
And typically, you are not interacting with other players too much.
Yeah.
So you don't touch each other too much. For instance, we'll get into this later, but Great Western Trail, other than stopping at each other's buildings, we didn't really do much to each other.
True.
Right? And then on top of it, I very poorly described this to Barnes earlier, but in most Euro games, whatever your goal is, it starts off very difficult to get it done, and you're working to build like a proper engine that can do the thing very effectively.
Mm-hmm.
So in this case, we're trying to sell the most cattle and make the most money. You want to build up an engine in which you can do that most effectively.
You got to have money. You got to have an economy. You got to have supplies. You got to have
a train.
A train.
You got to have a good train.
And boy, do I
and
have
boy,
a
did
fancy
Barnes,
train.
Barnes had a very nice train.
With the cheapest little scrawny little cows.
He was selling Jersey cattle up and down the Western coast, but in the nicest train and people bought. I tell you what.
I was going to say, out west, the Texas Longhorn is still a myth.
It is. He just sold purely Jersey cows. Barnes, why don't you tell people, I described a Euro game, tell them what the heck Great Western Trail is.
Great Western Trail is you play as, I don't even know what the character's exactly.
Cattleman.
A cattleman.
That is the official rules description of the character. You are a cattleman.
And I did give myself a little draw when I was playing. I called myself Barnstein Beverly or
That's
something
right.
like that. But you are essentially a cattleman, and you are trying to make runs to Kansas City to load up your cattle, load up your cargo, and ship it out west.
That's right.
For the highest price.
Uh-huh.
And the further west you can get, and the further your train gets, then the more rewards you get down the road.
Yes.
There's a lot of ways to succeed in this game. You got to have good cattle. You got to have a good train, good routes. You got to have a good income.
Mm-hmm.
And along the way, there's always a lot of hazards you have to watch out for as well.
Floods. The desert.
Rock slides. What was that wavy water one?
That was a flood. That was a flood. Yep. And you can also trade with natives, which,
yes.
Just quick disclaimer, this game is a lot of fun. Maybe not the best treatment of Native Americans.
Not sure.
They never really say Native Americans. They just refer to the teepee tiles in which you can trade with the Native Americans.
Mm-hmm.
That just feels a little weird.
And all of it ends up translating into some form of victory points. And once you kind of meet endgame conditions, which we can get into, you tally up pretty much every element.
Yes.
I mean, it's no way is rewarded or punished. And whoever has the most points wins.
Which I did not mention earlier on Euro games, but that is another hallmark of a Euro game, is that the points are decided by, or the winner is decided by nothing other than victory points.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a hallmark, and everything you do adds up to your victory mm-hmm. points. Barnes, what did we think about it? Did we like it? Did we have fun?
Yeah, we did. We liked it. We had fun. It was a classic kind of large-scale setup, large-scale learning session, yes. I'd say. And the box pitches it as a 2 to 4 player game, mm-hmm. anywhere from 75 to 150 minutes, which is a little over an hour to about 2.5, with setup and cleanup, I would say, safely block up 3 hours of time,
yeah.
according to the box. We needed four to four and a half.
That said, we did have a few distractions. We were eating food. We watched Pocahontas 1 and 2 during it. I can't say we really paid attention to Pocahontas at all, except for there were some moments where we realized it was fairly problematic, both movies. Mm-hmm.
And then we just stared into the Grand Canyon for about an hour.
That's right. I put on a Grand Canyon documentary, which was definitely fit with the theme.
By the way, I love the new test studio for these board games. Guys, we are fresh off this game. I just want to say, we were not sitting on this at all.
No.
We moved from the test studio. We're here in Studio G.
Studio G. Me and Barnes are in the same room, which is rare nowadays.
It is rare.
I would hazard a guess that, what, maybe 40 out of our 74... episodes.
This is 75.
This is 75.
Yeah, yeah.
40 out of our 75 we weren't in the same room for.
I'd say so.
I would say so. So
a rare moment. You know, Lauren keeps signing those checks. We got to keep meeting one way or another.
And she is paying up.
Yeah, Lauren Michaels, our executive producer, as always, on our side through all the ups and downs. Studio G, maybe our best one yet.
I agree. It's pretty nice. It's a small enclosed room. It's carpeted, so it really absorbs the noise.
So true.
And it is tornado friendly. You will likely survive a tornado in this room. I will say for any of you at home, if you're wondering, gosh, is Lauren Michaels their producer or was it somebody else? We have lost track of the lore of Lauren.
Yes, the lore of Lauren is muddled. I think there might have been a coup.
There may have been.
Let's keep it interesting.
Lauren Michaels Jr. may have stepped in at some point.
Right.
That might have been Lauren Michaels' son. I'm not sure.
Right.
So if we got it confused, please leave a comment. It would be our first ever, and we would love to see it.
It would be our first ever. Our Lauren Master.
Yes, we would love to get some Lauren Masters in the house.
Yeah.
What's so good about this game?
I think one thing that really struck me right off the bat is that you can choose your own style of play, and you can kind of stick with it. Sometimes it feels like you make the wrong choice, and you're just kind of sitting there for 2 hours watching everybody else succeed. I don't know. Maybe that's just my experience.
No, you do have those moments where you're looking around and you're like, everybody else has a very clear strategy, and I don't know that I do.
Yeah.
You talk.
Yeah, I was just saying you don't have to feel like, I try to play this game very aggressive, which I typically don't do with a lot of board games. Right off the bat, in my very first turn, I spent all the money I had.
That's right.
That I started the game with.
That's right.
I immediately started investing. I put all my money out and did not want to be conservative at all. We can get to it, but I think it paid off.
Well, you know
what
they say.
Even some of my first moves helped.
You got to spend money to make money.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was easily, I mean, there were times where all of us were bankrupt at some point. There were times when you have a bunch of money to spend it all and build it up again for a turn or two.
So to painting a picture for you listeners at home, if you've never seen this game board, you've got your little cattleman, and he's moving around the board to different locations. Now, the longer you play, more locations get added on.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the players add in their own private buildings that only they can use.
Yep.
Sometimes new hazards crop up, and there's many ways to get to Kansas City. You always have different paths to choose. However, you only get so much movement every turn. Now, the longer the game goes on, you also have a little player board, and your cattleman has different abilities, and the longer you play, you unlock different parts of the player board. So early on, you might only be able to move 3 spots. By the end of the game, you could move up to 6. You could hold more cattle in your hand, etc., etc. This game's got a little bit of an element of deck building in it, so you have a deck of cattle cards, and as you go, you're adding in better cattle, you're buying better cattle, and you are removing worse cattle from your hand if you so choose.
Right.
So the way it kind of ends up breaking down is you can try out different things. You can try and hire the most workers. That'll help you out. It'll make the engine move much smoother.
Yep.
You can invest in cattle. You can try and buy all the best cattle on the market and put them in your hand and get rid of the bad ones.
Mm.
You can invest in trains, which Barnes did very well. He was, you know, I've always called him the Barnes boat, but I think today he was the Barnes train.
The Barnes train.
You can invest in the trains. You can invest in buildings. You can make your own buildings and get a lot of points that way. Now, maybe one of the few things we found about the game, and this could be part of our inexperience with the game, is that it did seem like there were some strategies were greater than others. For instance, Barnes invested in trains. I'm a cattleman myself.
You were a cattleman.
I invested hard in buying cattle,
going to the market,
and building a really nice deck of cattle. I got rid of all my Jerseys, which aren't, that's the worst kind of cattle. The best is the Texas Longhorn. I got rid of almost all my Jerseys, and at the end of the game, you got points for all the different cows you got, and I think I had the most points by one or two. And Barnes in his train section had the most points by 30.
Mm-hmm.
I did lose handily to Barnes because of that.
And that idea of the Euro game element where you're really just trying to beat the game, you're trying to get your best score. I never had to, you know, take away John's cattle, poison the cattle, you know, steal his cowboys, break down the train, set back the train on the tracks, nothing like that. So it was more just a matter of, for me, getting the train going and getting out to these further locations for the higher reward at the end of the game. And then along the way, when I had a little bit of money, get my cowboys, get my cattle, and I kind of went from this expeditious, you know, lovely locomotive full of Jerseys to finally some good cows showed up. And it was enough.
A few Black Anguses, a few Dutch belts.
I had a nice brown beauty out
there.
Did
you have a brown Swiss?
Ooh, I don't think I had a brown Swiss.
Oof. What a beautiful steer.
But I got my boys to San Francisco, and that right there is the Golden Arches.
I was fired up about
that's
that.
That's McDonald's. I took my cattle straight into that McDonald's in
and
San Francisco
sold him right,
and said...
sold him right to
put
Ray
on
Kroc.
The table, baby.
He sold him right to Ray Kroc, and Ray Kroc slapped him onto the stove right then and there. Fur on. It was hard to watch. But yes, the game is, it's very, there are times where you think you don't know what you're doing, and then you'll have other turns where you just string together one heck of a combo, and the other players are going, oh my god, you have to be getting so many points right
now. It's intimidating, because no one knows what the score is.
Yeah. Well, and there's so much symbology on it. The game is littered with symbols. That's probably the hardest part to learn, is just what all the symbols mean. Once you get them, it's pretty straightforward. The game board will tell you what to do if you know the symbols, but it's honestly there's so many symbols, it can be very difficult to make a choice, because at times you have, if you can move up to six spots, every single spot has different actions you can take. You potentially have like 15 different decisions you could take.
By the end of the game, it's almost impossible to just think, what's my focus? What's my goal?
Yeah, you're almost just looking around, and the first thing you see that looks good, you're just like, okay, I'm going for it. Or you pick a goal, and you're just like, I just want to get my train somewhere better. I'm going to wherever I can move that train.
Yep.
So I think what's cool is, even though the game felt a little unbalanced for us, it was a lot of fun. And I want to play it again, because I want to see if another strategy can beat out the train strategy, or if there's something I can set up that makes that train strategy a little bit less effective.
Right.
I don't know what that would be. Maybe I charge you more
money.
Well,
the cowboy cattle is so hard because hiring workers is expensive.
Yeah, I got to hire workers to get good prices on cattle.
And then you get a good...
Workers are expensive, and cattle are expensive.
Right. But if you can't send those nice cattle anywhere nice when you get to Kansas City... Yeah. What was the point?
Exactly.
So I just got my train going to have options, to have cities on my map.
This ended up being my problem, because I invested in cattle, and then I couldn't sell them anywhere good, so I wasn't getting a lot of points. And by the time I finally got good, by the time I got to the point where I was consistently pulling out great hands of cattle, the game was about over.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, cattle makes you money, but it doesn't really make you victory points.
Well, you were surging late with the hiring, and you had the cattle now in your hand regularly. Mm-hmm. So I think it was a matter of me outlasting you. I think if we had two, maybe three more turns, the way your train was moving at the end, you would have almost lapped me.
Chugga chugga choo choo.
I think I just hit San Francisco and had that last bump. I picked up like, I won by what was it, like 30 or 25?
You won by 30
but
points.
But I got like 15. It was 100. And I had the last move of the game, and I picked up like almost 15 at the very end.
Yeah.
So it was closer than it seemed.
Yeah, San Francisco really, really moved you ahead.
Yeah.
My
one critique, if we could move towards that a little bit.
Oh, please critique.
You mentioned all the symbology. There is no little kind of reference card.
There's
no reference card. There's no just like, on your turn, you can do this, this, or this. Yep. It's on your board of what you can do. They called it ABC instead of numbers for like actions on a turn. But it's still like in A, you can do house !!
Mm-hmm.
slash what, you know.
It was neutral house or your color house exclamation point, and then all other covered houses or teepees or hazards, auxiliary item.
Right.
It just, yeah, there's so many symbols. There's not a player guide. I usually pride myself on being okay on explaining how to play a board game. And granted, I hadn't read the rules for this in a while, but I could feel I was losing the crowd by the end. Though, while I felt that, Barnes did immediately start the game with a very good turn. So I was like,
well, I did have 35 minutes to analyze my first move.
It is true.
That opening drive of a football game.
That was my gift to you.
Follow the script.
Barnes, I didn't tell you this, but the cheese dip we were eating
while
we played was called campfire dip.
Oh, that was nice.
Just like the old westerns.
And just like those old western songs we put on in between Pocahontas.
Yes. Yes.
I can't sing it. We get sued.
We played The Get Up by Blanco Brown and Old Town Road by Lil Nas X and Chicken Fried by the Zac Brown Band. Because that's what the Cowboys would have done.
That's what they were doing in the 1870s.
Barnes, is there anything you want? We're at about the 15-minute mark.
Okay.
We can add in some more details here. We can also move to some closing thoughts.
Where are you at? Because you lost the game. And I want to know what you would do differently. Because I feel like I really wouldn't change much. Maybe I got lucky with the Cowboys at the end because I was definitely always behind you guys. But I felt pretty good about how I played.
I was looking at it and I was actually debating because my brain tends to, instead of going to, well, obviously the train strategy works, I'm just going to do the train strategy. My brain always thinks to itself, even if it's at not to my benefit, I'm just going to try something different than what anybody's doing. If I went back and played it again, I think I would invest in building my own buildings and trying to put them in really smart places where people had to walk through them and pay me money the entire game.
That's
so that way I didn't have to worry about cattle. I could just use the money as I pleased.
Yeah, a lot of that we didn't even mention, but a lot of the hazards and a lot of the buildings you can buy have these kind of stop signs. They're like either a green hand or a black hand, and that just denotes how much you have to pay to pass through.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's a toll.
It goes to another player, which was really big. Yeah, I don't think we did, but then we were all not doing it, so we all ignored it. But I think if just one person went in on it, again, it's just a cost thing, I think. I just early on did not invest in the buildings, but if I had put up like that last crossroads right before Kansas City, if I had both of those, then everyone would have to kind of go through me to finish the map.
Well, and then there's a balance, right? So if a player does this, they put all their private buildings down, you're paying them money, you always have the alternative of going a different route, which is usually covered in natural hazards, floods, deserts, rock
slides.
You still
have to pay through.
The big three of natural hazards. And yes, you have to pay to get through those. There are also typically many stops. And the kind of trade-off there is you can put buildings after the hazards, and if you do that, the buildings give you even more abilities. They're like painted on the board. They're permanent. Now, the frustrating part is that it is very expensive to clear hazards. There's not a lot of opportunities to clear hazards. Mm. And those bonuses you get on the tiles don't add a ton of value. They add a little bit of value, but not a ton. And so I think it's you have to build a lot of buildings where people have to pay before they're even going to consider going
and
down
turn a
the
profit
hazard.
On them.
I think across the whole game, there were two or three times any of us crossed hazards.
Yeah.
Out of a 3-hour long game.
Just didn't want to have to deal with it.
Right. It's a ton of money. And if you want to get to your own building, it's a ton of money. If that building could maybe give you at best $4,
right.
You got to pay $7 to get there. It just doesn't pay off.
Doesn't work out. Yeah.
Doesn't pay off. So, but again, I have a feeling if we played that as a 4-player game, not so much of an issue because there's more buildings you have to start
fills up so
making
much
decisions.
Faster.
So there's a lot of things I want to try working with the buildings. I want to try a 4-player game, a 2-player game. I've only ever played it with 3 players.
Gotcha.
So there's a lot of different things I want to try. I feel like there's a really great game buried in here, and we have because I've played it 2 times. I played it today, in which I lost horribly. And the first time I played it completely wrong. We were discussing this, but misread a crucial rule. Basically, every turn we were doing 2/3 of an actual turn. But both times I was like, well, that was a lot of fun and I want to play again. So I think that says something to the game, but it at the same time just feels a little off balanced.
I think so. Internally, they do have a lot of good balancing things. The train tracks also still are overpowered because of the rewards at the end. I mean, getting some of the bonuses cost you your workers, which I thought I was like screwing myself very early on when I was losing my only workers, but it got me enough of a head start that I got just far enough down the line that I was picking up. Again, that last turn, those last two cities and that last building I built was about 25 of my 30 points that won the game.
That's the big thing, is that usually in games like this, you know, you look for the trade-off. Like, what makes that a worse option? Or is there a card I can use to counter it, or a play I can use to counter it? I can't think of what it is for the trains. The trains were good enough that we reread the rules after the game was over to make sure we were playing them right, because it seemed too good to be true. And sure enough, we were playing it exactly as intended. Right. So there's something there. And I did see on the Board Game Geek website that I said that like my father would. I was on the Board Game Geek website.
The old BoardGame.com.
You know www.BoardGameGeek.com? I was on it.
/ Great Western Trail?
Yes, yes.
Oh, I know it.
/ forums. but I did see that there is an expansion called Rails of the North. Mm. But that just makes me all the more scared. More trains.
Yeah, more trains.
I believe I've seen a picture of it before, and if anybody looks up a picture of this, you can see all the cities you can go to along the top of the board. I believe this expansion just adds a little add-on to the board that goes along the next side barns, and it gives you, like, it goes up to, like, Seattle and Canada and stuff like that.
I mean, the board's busy enough. It looks good. I mean, I didn't want it to be any bigger with the whole, a big table to play the game, but it would have been nice if, like, the train track was more, like, realistic or squiggly. It was pretty much just a straight line. The buildings, like, the city name seemed a little bit crowded.
Yep.
I'm kind of nitpicking at this point.
Yeah.
But that would have been kind of cool. Or if there were, like, hazards on the train tracks.
That's an idea.
You know what I mean? Like, you want to get between these two cities? Oh, yeah, the Rocky Mountains are in the way. Let's acknowledge that.
Oh,
I don't know.
Would have been fun. Yeah, there were a few moments where we were discussing some house rules we can implement in the future, too. Just a little tweet, like, the cattle market doesn't, it takes forever to refill the cattle market, and it's at the expense of one player to do it. So we were kind of saying you should get a little bit more for that.
Yeah.
So, interesting stuff. It's, again, a fun game. It feels like there is something missing, and I don't know if it's us or the game.
It's like 90% there.
Yeah. And it feels like it just takes a lot of plays for us to figure out what exactly is happening.
Right.
But it's also not always easy to get a game that takes potentially 2.5 hours to the table.
Right.
Barnes, let's do closing thoughts now.
Yeah, Great Western Trail, a really fun game. I think it's good for a varying level of competitive play between you and your friends. I don't think it's going to cause any arguments. Mm. I think it's just an exciting way to try different strategies, you know, in real time for a board game. And I think it's definitely worth checking out.
What is your favorite cattle? Favorite cattle type? Because there were some beautiful steers out there, listeners.
I love going to market.
Gorgeous.
Well, this was kind of a simple thing, but I like going to market, trading in my black Angus.
You like the black Angus.
And I turned that payday into a brown beauty.
Mm-hmm. I've got to go with my personal favorite. I'm worried I forgot the name. The Ayrshire.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Oh, I bought me a couple of twins.
What a gorgeous cattle.
Yeah, 3 victory points each.
This brown and white mottled fur. And, I mean, it was worth the most victory points of any 3 card out on
Absolutely.
The table.
Absolutely.
I want to give a special shout-out to the West Highlander, which is a very shaggy cow with long horns. Mm. Really beautiful. One thing I would add to this, I hope the Rails of the North does add this. I hope there's more types of cows.
Yeah.
Because I want more cows.
Get me a Siberian cow.
Yeah, give me an American bison.
There you go.
The ultimate cow.
Yeah.
My closing thoughts is I just want to play. I want to play. excuse me.
Oh my god, he's getting choked up. He's getting choked up.
Oh, I'm getting them little nighttime coffees. You know when your voice a little tired and it just starts. I was at a work conference this week. The last night they had a live band, and I was scream talking the whole night. It's still a little rough.
Still recovering.
I just want to play the game more. I want to find out, is it me or is it the game? I've come to learn that with board games, I have as much fun playing them as I do dissecting like the actual game design elements, and I really just want to understand what's happening from a game design perspective, because it's so tightly designed in almost every single facet, and the trains don't seem that way, and my gut tells me there's something there I'm missing, and I want to know what it is. So I want to return.
Dig deeper.
Let's say our thank yous.
Yeah.
Alex Moore, really nice graphic. Adam Scove, fantastic music.
All of you.
All of you, listeners, thank you. Very kind. Keep downloading it. Hope you've smashed subscribe 3 years ago and it's still coming in strong.
Season 4 is the year.
I hope when season 4 comes up for people, they open it and they go, no way. I thought they were done.
Hey.
Because I feel like that, I mean, if it was flipped, if I hadn't seen a new episode in years, I would have said, they're not going to do it again.
Hey, we're like Curb Your Enthusiasm. We make them as we make them.
Season 6 will probably have children on the podcast.
When the muse chords strike our hearts.
Yeah.
We're in this show has spanned multiple decades. We must respect that.
How much long? Only 4 years until the 10th anniversary.
Exactly, yeah.
Will podcasts even still be a thing? Will we be sponsored?
Will we be still
That's
sponsored?
That's when we start really getting paychecks. Yeah, will we continue to be sponsored by... Oh, I've forgotten the lore of who sponsors us. I want to say Nike and Coke.
Ooh, that sounds great.
Sounds like a good sponsorship. Nike and Coke it is.
I love it.
I have a friend who works at Adidas. I hope he doesn't listen.
Just do it. Enjoy life.
Just do it.
Those the two? Isn't that Coke? Enjoy life? Did I just coin the...
I don't...
Should it be?
Let's get them on the phone. Let's get our sponsors on the phone. Thank you to all of you for listening. This has been episode 75. Next up... we will be doing an episode on Scott McCloud's The Sculptor, a graphic novel. It is lovely. Scott McCloud literally wrote the book on how to write comic books. He literally wrote a comic book called How to Make Comics, and it is a comic book explaining how to make comic books. Very good stuff, and The Sculptor is one fine piece of comic work. Barnes, I'm saying bye-bye. Bye.
Bye.